Hi, I'm Don Genova, and you're listening to a podcast produced in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, called All You Can Eat. I've been off for a while. I'm a full-time food journalist, and I freelance 2 to 3 items a week to CBC Radio. But for the past 8 weeks, the CBC locked out members of the Canadian Media Guild during a labor dispute. I'm a member of the CMG, so I was walking the picket line 20 hours a week. We are finally back at work, and although the CBC doesn't pay me to do my podcasts, I should have been doing a lot more, right? Well, I found the whole situation of losing more than half of my income every week quite disheartening. So I didn't do any podcasts. I just didn't feel like making radio. But I had to do something, and that something was called Picket Size Me. And I've decided to let you know all about it in my first podcast of the fall.
Super size the American way. Throw it down all day, every day. Super size the American way. Getting fat, getting broke, either way you're gonna pay. Supersize Me.
Yeah, this isn't Supersize Me, it's Picket Size Me. Around CBC Vancouver, they call me the food guy, but I'm also fighting to lose weight. Being a food journalist has a built-in occupational hazard. You eat out a lot, and being on the picket line is like being able to eat out all day long. There are donuts and Timbits. Those are little donut holes from Tim Hortons for our American listeners. And chocolate muffins and chocolates and cake and cookies. All very tempting and all very laden with fat and sugar. I'm not the only one who is trying to win the Battle of the Bulge. Here's some comments from some of my fellow locked-out workers who joined me on the picket line.
Lisa Christensen, on picket line food, what have you been bringing?
Well, today I brought a salad, an avocado, a chopped-up tomato, and some romaine lettuce, balsamic vinegar, and sea salt.
You're giving this some thought, aren't you?
I am. I've done the opposite thing where I just kind of picked at the donuts on the table, and it didn't work really well. Not only was I tired, I think I cried a lot too. I think I should be thinking about my emotional needs with food more than even my physical needs. That's my thought now. 3 weeks into this, or almost, I think I'm getting smart finally.
Kate, what has been your experience on the food line here?
Well, first of all, I haven't had any of the sweets that are, you know, given or handed out. I came with money, so I took myself out for breakfast, huge breakfast, had, you know, bacon, eggs, toast. So the next day I thought, well, you know, the protein's good, but oh, they've got crepes with, you know, sour cream and strawberries and raspberries and, you know, icing sugar on the top. And that was my breakfast. Oh, dear. You know, too much sugar, too much sugar. So I am back on the straight and narrow. You know, so now I'll have protein drink in the morning and a salad for lunch. And, you know, then I'll have just a regular meal when I go home.
Now, Yvonne, you've been commenting on the picket line food as well. What have you noticed since you started here?
Well, it's been great how generous everybody has been with the food that they bring down, but it tends to be a lot of sweets, high in sugar, which I'm a bit terrified of because I've been eliminating that from my diet. So I find that I've just trying to avoid buying all the food that's available in the downtown. First of all, your picket pay is pretty cheap, or not cheap, but you know, there's only so much. You don't want to spend it all on the fast food stuff. So I've been doing a lot of prep. So I've been trying to bring protein shakes for the morning for breakfast, and you know, my nutritious muffins, and you know, another little protein hit for lunch, whatever that might be, you know, hummus or tuna salad or something like that, and then just, you know, fruit for snacks, and just to sort of be smart about it and take advantage of it. I mean, you know, you can walk around the building and get some good physical exercise and eat healthy and sort of keep your spirits up that way too.
Yeah, but it's difficult because there's some awfully tempting stuff that comes through too.
It is, and you know what? You shouldn't deprive yourself totally. You know, it can be a real problem because I think people are finding or thinking that they can lose a lot of weight by walking around. But you know, your food intake is going to well take over any benefit if you don't watch what you eat.
Now, to help me out with some better choices, Capers, a natural food store in Vancouver, sent along their nutritionist, Victoria Pulaski, with some sage advice.
Well, obviously, it's extraneous circumstances. being on a picket line. But one of the best ways to kind of protect yourself for the day is starting off with some breakfast before you come for the day, because there's really good studies showing that people who eat breakfast on an average eat over the whole day at 100 to 200 calories less over the whole day. And the best way is to start with some protein, some eggs or tofu or nut butter, cheese, even some salmon, something to get your metabolism boosted for the day. Because if you've done some exercise, or even if you're walking all day, if you've got protein in your system, it'll give your whole metabolic rate a kickstart.
Victoria brought along some great fruit snacks, peaches, apples, plums, and other foods designed to help you lose weight, not gain it.
All of these foods actually are low glycemic index foods, and there's good research to show that foods that have a low GI or a low glycemic index actually contribute to weight loss. So they have a lower rise in your blood sugar after eating them than other foods, and as a result, it just your whole insulin fat metabolism stays on an even keel.
So healthy snacks are obviously important. What about foods that you should avoid?
Most adults, we can't afford to be drinking a lot of calories, or we save it for things that we really want, like a good glass of wine or a latte here and there. But to be drinking a lot of juice, unless you're trying to gain weight, most of us can't handle that, those extra concentrated calories. It's great for people who are putting out a lot of energy, kids, athletes. For the rest of us, we got to watch that, drinking our calories. But the other food that really just seems to cause an increase in your glycemic index and put on weight, particularly around the middle, it has a stress response, is the white refined sugar, refined flour. So trying to limit those as much as possible when you're trying to watch your weight.
And one last piece of advice, you gotta have a plan.
So before eating anything extra that might be tempting, think, okay, I've had my fruit and vegetables today. Not leaving home without a few pieces of fruit in your pocket is a great way to protect yourself a little bit. And because of the culture we're in, I mean, if we don't have some kind of plan, we just get caught up in the drift, and before we know it, we're middle-aged and we're fighting it.
Good advice. So thanks to Victoria Pulaski, nutritionist at Capers. Along with nutrition, you need to have some fitness. So I also called in Kevin Hunter, an exercise therapist at a sports medicine clinic in downtown Vancouver, who has given me some help in the past with some of my wonky muscles.
Okay, you and I have been working on some stuff that I have going on in my personal life, just a lot of shoulder, neck, and back stuff. But I'm going to be on the picket line for about 20 hours a week. And a lot of it so far has just been spent walking around the block. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking there's got to be some better things to do to better utilize that time instead of just walking.
Mm-hmm. Certainly the walking to start with is an excellent start. Walking in general is a nice way to get just things moving. So accentuating arm swings and things like that, just to try and keep more body parts moving is a nice segue into kind of more activity. The other things you can do is flexibility. You can be stretching on the line. You can be doing some upper body light mobility stuff on the line. So we're going to try and develop a system where you're going to be able to promote flexibility and do a bit of mobility stuff as well. So that's kind of the ideas that I have so far.
Okay, let's talk about the upper body mobility then.
Okay, the first thing would be for you, obviously, specifically shoulder and neck. So for you, the neck, the chin tends to really jut, so that typically is something we would like to control by exaggerating a movement. So for us, just jutting the chin out and then picking it back up and in, and doing that 5 times over, and then holding it, being aware of it for 30 seconds while you're walking. Very simple thing to do, maybe not even that anyone would notice except for yourself. That is the kind of the computer syndrome that we see in a lot of people. You know, neck really far forward, looking at a screen, shoulders hunched forward. So on that same train of thought, exactly, rolling the shoulders back and pulling them down, and doing that consistently by exaggerating the movements is something that I think can really pattern it into the head so that you can kind of reconcile yourself to doing that on a more regular basis without even thinking about it. So that's the kind of the head and neck that I have in mind. With respect to the core and the trunk that we were doing, the work that we were doing before obviously was focused there. Just contracting the muscles while you're walking. Something as simple and as basic as just firing that muscle, turning it on, is going to help you. We're not talking about burning calories here. We're just talking about creating good habits for back stability and things like that. Drawing the belly button towards the spine and things like that just you know, they help keep everything kind of lined up. So
suck in the gut.
No, that's the concept. As basic as it sounds, that's the idea. You know, being able to engage that deep layer of muscles really does help the back and keep it nice and stable in that position. So from there, we kind of work on down the line. Lower body flexibility in men typically leaves a little bit something to be desired. So we're looking for a bit of hamstring and a bit of calf and quadricep, which is the thigh muscle. A little bit of flexibility there. Some very, very basic moves that you can do anywhere you want. So we'll run through the techniques on all that stuff here today, and that kind of gets to the crux of what I think I'd like to see done in this context.
Okay. And even for myself and others, even the way you walk, you have to watch too, because I know you notice that even by looking at the soles of my shoes, mm-hmm. that I have a different an incorrect way of walking.
Yeah, I think that's a hotly debated topic. Humans are adaptable creatures. Obviously, you've adapted the way you've walked based on how you carry mass on your body, okay? Also, lack of flexibility in some ways defines how you walk, especially with respect to the calves and the upper hip muscles. So it's important to be able to recognize that you have maybe a gait that isn't quite perfect, but it's adaptive for how your body is at this time. And changing a lot of different things at once is maybe kind of a lot to expect. Clearly, alignment and symmetry are what we work towards regardless. So if you can stomach turning the toes in just a bit and ensuring that your posture is a little bit more upright, I think, you know, it starts with the subtle stuff and then goes to kind of a global change.
With the people that you see, what's the thing that seems to be the hardest to get them to do or get them to remember?
I think it's putting a cohesive effort in, getting some consistency. People's lives tend to get in the way, and that's just the nature of the beast. Unless physical fitness or activity or rehabilitation is your primary goal, it simply just loses out to other slightly more interesting things in your life, like work or, you know, a spouse or sitting on the couch or whatever it's going to be. You need to put a cohesive, consistent effort forth. And it does matter what you do, but not as much as people might think. Anything is good. Everything counts. Going upstairs instead of elevators, it all counts. A little less mayo, a little less butter, all these things count, right? So be thinking about this stuff all the time. That's the message. Be thinking about it all the time and do the little stuff, because that's where you're going to get benefit, I think.
Kevin, thanks very much for coming down to the picket line. If you need clients, I'll have information on the website.
Very good. Thank you very much.
Well, I'm not walking on the picket line anymore, but you're wondering, how did I do with my efforts? Well, a combination of the walking and the South Beach diet headed me in the right direction. I lost 10 pounds in about a month. Nice, slow weight gain. But then I went to Oregon on a week-long, fully sponsored food and wine extravaganza. Nice, fast weight gain. A few pounds came back, but I'm still down by around 8 pounds. My eating habits are better, but I've been slowing down on the exercise, so I won't lose any more unless I get out there walking again. And by the way, if you live in Vancouver and want some expert help from Kevin Hunter, he works for Personal Best Exercise Therapy, and you can reach him at 604-838-5389. That's 604-838-5389. I'll have more podcasts for you in the weeks ahead, including word on how we will soon be able to try eating Australian kangaroo and camel here in Canada. I'm not kidding. For more audio files, recipes, and photos, just visit my website, pacificpalate.com. That's all you can eat for this week. I'm Don Genova. Bye for now.